welcome in Chris Porfiri, who is the Senior Manager for Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services here for the Diocese of Sacramento. Chris, good day to you.
Well, good day to you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. One of these days it will be in person rather than virtual.
That's true. That'd be nice.
But it will be great to... Great to hear your to see you in person. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your role there.
Well, I've been in the funeral business for about 16 years now, after a 25-year run in the broadcasting industry.
Oh, very good.
Which I started out as a mere 15-year-old. And I had a wonderful time there. And all of a sudden, one day, realized that perhaps there is something else in life that I can do that is actually making a difference for folks. So I left on my own power, which is kind of rare in the broadcasting business.
That's very rare.
Yeah. And went ahead and, after some due diligence, made the switch. And that was down in Bakersfield, and moved here in this past August.
Oh, wow. So you're in the Diocese of Fresno?
That is correct.
Wow. Were you on the radio in Fresno? I mean, in Bakersfield?
I was, yes. I was. I came to work in Bakersfield, actually. I was born and raised in Santa Maria.
Uh-huh. And strawberry country.
Oh, big time. And barbecue country. Absolutely.
Yes.
And went to work for Buckley Radio in Bakersfield, and did that until 2005.
Wow. What sort of work did you do in radio?
Well, I was certainly I was on air. I started off as a kid playing music, just jockey.
Did you have to play Buck Owens all the time?
Well, as a matter of fact, I still maintain a weekend position at Buck's radio station in Bakersfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I've done rock. I've done news talk, smooth jazz, a little bit of everything.
That's a very interesting community, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very very close knit. It's what has been described as the largest small town in America.
Oh, I was going to describe it in similar terms. I remember one day reading the population of Bakersfield, and I went, I had no idea it was that big, because I still think of it as a town.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And some faithful Catholics in that part, neckbones, too.
Absolutely. Monsignor Perry from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton is a wonderful person, and miss him and miss that very young church a whole lot down there.
Bakersfield's still growing.
Oh, absolutely.
By leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. It's very affordable compared to an hour and a half south on the Grapevine when you're in the L.A. area. And
I read about people that take the Grapevine every day both ways so they can live in Bakersfield.
Absolutely. L.A. wages, Bakersfield living. Not a bad way to do it.
So what brought you to Sacramento?
This job, this wonderful position with the CFCS, and I was just honored and humbled that I was chosen for it. And my position here, Senior Manager of Funeral Services, currently based out of St. Mary's, and I am overseeing funeral directors and arrangers and pretty much all of the at-need process here at this facility, and certainly guiding and adding help where I can at our other facilities as well.
Were you in funeral services in Bakersfield?
I was, yeah. I started in 2005 and at a multinational corporation-owned facility. And then once I received my funeral director's license from the state, I made a move to a local firm that was only hiring folks with state licenses, mm-hmm. and that's where I really, really took off.
What's involved in getting a state license?
Well, the state rule is such that you really can't call yourself a funeral director, excuse me, unless you have that license, which in current parameters involve a college degree or at least 60 equivalent units, and you must sit and pass the exam.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. So to talk a little bit about your job description here in Sacramento.
Well, what I am doing is overseeing the funeral directors and arrangers that we have here and looking at the entire funeral process at our facilities. Certainly, we are, being a part of the diocese, owned by the diocese, we are very cognizant of all of the, certainly the rite of Christian burial and all of the rites that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very, very intent on making sure that Catholics receive those rites, that final blessing, and perhaps lay to rest in consecrated ground here or at our other facilities.
How many facilities do we have total in the diocese?
Well, as far as funeral establishments go, and funeral establishments are basically, you know, funeral homes, licensed mm-hmm. funeral homes, we have here at St. Mary's, we have Calvary, mm-hmm. Which is in Citrus Heights.
Right.
We have George L. Klumps in downtown, and All Souls over in Vallejo.
Vallejo, sure. So you have good tires on your car.
I've seen some country. Absolutely.
Yes. Now, what about sometimes you'll see a cemetery literally at a church or very near a church mm-hmm. here in the diocese.
Yeah, absolutely, and there are some of those properties that are under the direct supervision of CFCS as mm-hmm. well, and it is just a question of how involved we are as far as the maintenance and the interments at facilities such as those, the ones that are still conducting
mm-hmm.
Burials. Certainly, some have been their time has run out, if you will, or just no more room.
Right.
But we have we certainly are cognizant of maintenance of those areas as well.
Talk a little bit about the Catholic teaching on cremation. I remember growing up, it was not done.
Yeah, it is relatively recent, if you will, as far as what the Catholic Church has said about cremation, and it is basically, and I will summarize the what is actually said, and that is certainly that the cremation is an acceptable means of disposition if that is your desire, but certainly the Church recommends that the cremated remains certainly not be split, not be divided,
right.
Not be scattered, but placed in whole, again, in consecrated ground. Now, certainly before that process is completed, bringing the body in whole to church for Mass for the rite of Christian burial certainly is part of that as well. And that's kind of what a lot of folks get a little bit foggy on, is the fact that, cremation may have been a desired means of disposition of remains, but uh-huh. certainly we would like to have a viewing, visitation, rosary, vigil, and Mass before that happens. And people still think that maybe we can't do that. But absolutely you can. And there's a variety of things that options out there to help that come to fruition.
How difficult have things been during the pandemic?
Well, it has changed, I think, it has changed the way we had done things, not only here, but certainly I was still down south when everything started to happen. And I really think that the toughest part of all of this has been to tell families that, no, we can't do what you had originally wanted to have happen with, you know, a large attendance or a large mass or anything like that, with restrictions that were very, very tight. It was really, really difficult to have that conversation. And it was not the funeral establishment's rules, but we had to follow them, and most certainly it was really, really difficult.
And you didn't make the rules, but you're the one that, number one, had to enforce them, but you're also the one who had to deliver the message about the rules.
Absolutely.
And it's a little like being the messenger, getting blamed for everything.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I do have to say, for the most part, people were understanding about that. They did not like it. They were very, very sad. But certainly, for the most part, they understood. In fact, that's usually the first question that was asked when approaching a funeral establishment for services, and that is, what are the current rules concerning COVID?
Mm-hmm.
What are the current restrictions? And that's very odd, because usually there are some other questions that come out first. But that was pretty much the lead off right there.
And I know Bishop Soto was very, very upfront, very early about putting rules into place long before the state did. Where caution and concern for your fellow man were the number one priorities. You know, we have to be responsible, for the common good. And unfortunately, that made it was difficult for all of us. But I think it was very prudent, very wise, and has been one of the reasons we have always had much lower rates here in all of Northern California than the rest of the country.
And absolutely,
it's pretty amazing. And he was really ahead of the curve on it. But still, it's got to be difficult at an already difficult time for families to have to deliver that message to them. Have things eased up now a bit?
Yeah, they have to a certain extent. We're certainly following the occupancy guidelines that the state and Bishop Soto have set for establishments within the diocese. And what that means is we are able to accommodate a few more people in the building here within our chapel confines for services, using an overflow facility, if you will. And so we've been able to do that for Mass. And the outdoor restrictions as far as graveside still pretty much maintained. But, yeah, it is beginning to loosen up a little bit, but we are still very, very aware of occupancy within the confines of the buildings.
What's the toughest part of your job?
I think the toughest part of being in the funeral business industry, funeral service, is most definitely having to deal with individuals who have lost children. To be perfectly frank, I think that is one of the arrangement meetings that none of us none of us are ever really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is very little that we can do to a grieving parent, anyone who is grieving. We are not, we deal with respect. We deal with compassion. We deal with the law. We deal with making arrangements and getting those right for the family. And that's what we do. And there are always those emotions that spill over into that within the arrangements, because emotions are very, very high on the part of the family. And we walk a fine line from making arrangements and making sure that everything legal is done correctly as per state law, and also consoling the family. And we are always kind of walking on eggshells, but
mm-hmm.
it's what we have been called to do. And I firmly believe that those of us who have made a commitment to this business are here for a reason. And I'm being in this position here in Sacramento, and working for the diocese is just absolutely amazing. I've never ever thought that my life pursuit and my faith would ever combine. And it never occurred to me that the two could come to a confluence, if you will, and it's been absolutely amazing.
Well, the guy sitting in this chair right here has a similar story of not ever believing that his faith, when I was offered the job to host the Bishop's Hour, going, wow. Like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think the most surprised person of all was God. Going,
yeah.
You're going to let him on the radio to talk about the faith? Really?
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, it was like, wow, what, as you say, a confluence. It's mm-hmm. like whoever dreamed it.
It really is, and I, you think back of your own thought process when you were a kid. If you attended parochial school, a high school like I did back in Santa Maria, and the church was a huge part of my life because my parents were so involved, and consequently, so was I. And you look at that early phase in life and think, well, okay, that was that, and here we go with the rest of life, getting married, having kids. And then all of a sudden it comes back full circle, that not only am I charged with the huge responsibility of assisting families at such a horrible time in their life, but also doing it under the guise of my faith in the Holy Catholic Church is just a blessing.
Indeed. So, Chris, you have some job openings.
We do, and there are some opportunities here within our company within our diocese to do exactly what I've been describing here the past few minutes, and that is to embark on a ministry of compassion and love for those who have lost a loved one, and do it within the guise of the Holy Catholic Church. We're looking for funeral assistants, mm-hmm. which are the individuals who certainly help make sure that funeral services go smoothly and according to families' wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Such tasks as moving flowers, assisting with casket, to greeting guests at the door, book and folders handing out, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have funeral arrangers, funeral directors we are in need of, and those are the individuals that may or may not have a state license, but certainly if they are able to pass the state certification, you would have the opportunity to actually meet with and make arrangements for families who have are experiencing a loss. And a lot of that has to do with knowledge of the law and knowledge of what we do is the faith as well, and organizing those services. So we've got those available both here in Sacramento and at our facility in Citrus Heights currently.
Very good. Very good. And how should people who might be interested get in contact with you?
The best way to look at those employment opportunities would be to go to the website, and that would be cfcssacramento.org. And Charlie Frank, Charlie Sam, if you want to hear it phonetically like that. And then just slide down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see the employment opportunities and everything you need to know. And if anybody wants to have conversation with me about those positions, I would be more than happy to have conversation about that.
Very good. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, even virtually. And I'm sorry that in some ways that you gave up radio, but I'm really thrilled that you're here in the Diocese of Sacramento and in doing the Lord's work.
I am blessed. I am very, very blessed, and I thank you very much.
Well, Chris, we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon in person.
Absolutely. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, too. Thanks so much. That's Chris Porfiri, who is the new general manager, if you will, a senior manager of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Hello, this is John Watkins, Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Oh. Welcome back, everyone. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. The Vatican has declared that we are going to dedicate May to the Global Rosary Marathon for the end of COVID-19. They have announced a rosary initiative. The Pontifical Council for the Promotion of the New Evangelization said April 21 that for the deep desire of the Holy Father, the month of May will be dedicated to a prayer marathon with the theme "Prayer to God went up incessantly from the whole church." The council said that the world's Catholic shrines would be involved in a special way as promoters of the rosary among Catholic individuals, families, and communities. 30 of the shrines will take turns leading a daily live-streamed rosary, won't that be great, at 12 p.m. noon Eastern Time. The Catholic, so 9 a.m. here. The Catholic Church dedicates the month of May to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Pope Francis will open the month of prayer on May 1, asking for Mary's intercession. Pope Francis spoke about the coronavirus and its economic effects in a video message to participants in the 27th Ibero-American Summit in Andorra, April 21. The COVID-19 pandemic, he said, has demanded enormous sacrifices from each nation and its citizens. The crisis has called on the entire international community to commit, united with a spirit of responsibility and fraternity, to face the many challenges already in action and those which will come. The Pope said that he had prayed for the millions of people who have died from COVID-19 or who are suffering from the illness, as well as their families. The pandemic, he said, has made no distinctions and has hit people of all cultures, creeds, social, and economic strata. He emphasized the importance of considering anti-COVID vaccination as a universal common good. Pope added, in this area, initiatives that seek to create new forms of solidarity at the international level are particularly welcome, with mechanisms aimed at guaranteeing an equitable distribution of vaccines, not based on purely economic criteria, but taking into account the needs of all, especially those of the most vulnerable and needy. We were able a little while ago to sit down with Chris Porfiri, who is a senior administrator with the Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a number of job opportunities with them, and we're going to bring you the interview with Chris now. Welcome in Chris Porfiri, who is the senior manager for Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services here for the Diocese of Sacramento. Chris, good day to you.
Well, good day to you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. One of these days, it will be in person rather than virtual.
That's true. That's true. That'd be nice.
But it will be great to hear your to see you in person. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your role there.
Well, I've been in the funeral business for about 16 years now, after a 25-year run in the broadcasting industry.
Oh, very good.
Which I started out as a mere 15-year-old, and had a wonderful time there, and all of a sudden one day realized that perhaps there is something else in life that I can do that is actually making a difference for folks. So I left on my own power, which is kind of rare in the broadcasting business.
That's very rare.
Yeah. And went ahead and, after some due diligence, made the switch. And that was down in Bakersfield, and moved here in this past August.
Oh, wow. So you're in the Diocese of Fresno?
That is correct.
Wow. Were you on the radio in Fresno? I mean, in Bakersfield?
I was, yes. I was. I came to work in Bakersfield, actually. I was born and raised in Santa Maria.
Uh-huh.
And
strawberry country.
Oh, big time. And barbecue country.
Yeah, yes.
And went to work for Buckley Radio in Bakersfield, and did that until 2005.
Wow. What sort of work did you do in radio?
Well, I was certainly I was on air. I mm-hmm. started off as a kid playing music, just jockey. And
did you have to play Buck time. Owens all the time?
Well, as a matter of fact, I still maintain a weekend position at Buck's radio station in Bakersfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I've done rock. I've done news talk. Smooth jazz, a little bit of everything.
That's a very interesting community, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very, very close knit. It's what has been described as the largest small town in America.
Oh, I was going to describe it in similar terms. I remember one day reading the population of Bakersfield, and I went, I had no idea it was that big, because I still think of it as a town.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And some faithful Catholics in that part, neighborhoods,
oh,
too.
Absolutely. Monsignor Perry from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton is a wonderful person, and miss him and miss that very young church a whole lot down there.
Bakersfield's still growing.
Oh, absolutely.
By leaps and bounds.
Absolutely. It's very affordable compared to an hour and a half south on the Grapevine when you're in the L.A. area. And
I read about people that take the Grapevine every day both ways so they can live in Bakersfield.
Absolutely. L.A. wages, Bakersfield living. Not a bad way to do it.
So what brought you to Sacramento?
This job, this wonderful position with the CFCS, and I was just honored and humbled that I was chosen for it. And my position here, senior manager of funeral services, currently based out of St. Mary's, and I am overseeing funeral directors and arrangers and pretty much all of the at-need process here at this facility, and certainly guiding and adding help where I can at our other facilities as well.
Were you in funeral services in Bakersfield?
I was, yeah. I started in 2005 and at a multinational corporation-owned facility.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I received my funeral director's license from the state, I made a move to a local firm that was only hiring folks with state licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really, really took off.
What's involved in getting a state license?
Well, the state rule is such that you really can't call yourself a funeral director, excuse me, unless you have that license, which current parameters involve a college degree or at least 60 equivalent units, and you must sit and pass the exam.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. So talk a little bit about your job description here in Sacramento.
Well, what I am doing is overseeing the funeral directors and arrangers that we have here, and looking at the entire funeral process at our facilities. Certainly, we are, being a part of the diocese, owned by the diocese, we are very cognizant of all of the, certainly the rite of Christian burial and all of the rites that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very, very intent on making sure that that Catholics receive those rites, that final blessing, and perhaps lay to rest in consecrated ground here or at our other facilities.
How many facilities do we have total in the diocese?
Well, as far as funeral establishments go, and funeral establishments are basically, you know, funeral homes, licensed mm-hmm. funeral homes, we have here at St. Mary's, we have Calvary,
mm-hmm.
Which is in Citrus Heights.
Right.
We have George L. Crump's in downtown, and All Souls over mm-hmm. in Vallejo.
Vallejo, sure. So you have good tires on your car.
I've seen some country. That's
yes.
cool, right?
Now, what about the, you see, sometimes you'll see a cemetery at, literally at a church or very near a church mm-hmm. here in the diocese.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some of those properties that are under the direct supervision of CFCS as
mm-hmm.
well. And it is just a question of how involved we are as far as the maintenance and the interments at facilities such as those, the ones that are still conducting
mm-hmm.
Burials. Certainly some have been, their time has run out, if you will, or just no more room.
Right.
But we have, we certainly are cognizant of maintenance of those areas as well.
Talk a little bit about the Catholic teaching on cremation. I remember growing up, it was not done.
Yeah, it is relatively recent, if you will, as far as what the Catholic Church has said about cremation. And it is basically, and I will summarize the what is actually said, and that is certainly that the cremation is an acceptable means of disposition if that is your desire, but certainly the Church recommends that the cremated remains certainly not be split, not be divided,
right.
Not be scattered, but placed in whole, again, in consecrated ground. Now, certainly before that process is completed, bringing the body in whole to church for Mass for the rite of Christian burial certainly is part of that as well. And that's kind of what a lot of folks get a little bit foggy on, is the fact that Well, cremation may have been a desired means of disposition of remains, but certainly we would like to have a viewing, visitation, rosary, vigil, and mass before that happens. And people still think that maybe we can't do that. But absolutely you can. And there's a variety of things that options out there to help that come to fruition.
How difficult have things been during the pandemic?
Well, it has changed, I think, it has changed the way we had done things, not only here, but certainly I was still down south when everything started to happen. And I really think that the toughest part of all of this has been to tell families that, no, we can't do what you had originally wanted to have happen with, you know, a large attendance or a large mass or anything like that, with restrictions that were very, very tight. It was really, really difficult to have that conversation. And it was not the funeral establishment's rules, but we had to follow them, and most certainly it was really, really difficult.
And you didn't make the rules, but you're the one that, number one, had to enforce them, but you're also the one who had to deliver the message about the rules.
Absolutely.
And it's a little like being the messenger, getting blamed for everything.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I do have to say, for the most part, people were understanding about that. They did not like it. They were very, very sad. But certainly, for the most part, they understood. In fact, that's usually the first question that was asked when approaching a funeral establishment for services, and that is, what are the current rules concerning COVID?
Mm-hmm.
What are the current restrictions? And that's very odd, because usually there are some other questions that come out first. But that was pretty much the lead-off right there.
And I know Bishop Soto was very, very upfront, very early about putting rules into place long before the state did. Where caution and concern for your fellow man were the number one priorities. We have to be responsible, for the common good. And unfortunately, that made it was difficult for all of us, but I think it was very prudent, very wise, and has been one of the reasons we have always had much lower rates here in all of Northern California than the rest of the country.
And absolutely,
it's pretty amazing. And he was really ahead of the curve on it. But still, it's got to be difficult at an already difficult time for families to have to deliver that message to them. Have things eased up now a bit?
Yeah, they have to a certain extent. We're certainly following the occupancy guidelines that the state and Bishop Soto have set for establishments within the diocese. And what that means is we are able to accommodate a few more people in the building here within our chapel confines for services, using an overflow facility, if you will. And so we've been able to do that for Mass. And the outdoor restrictions as far as graveside still pretty much maintained, but yeah, it is beginning to loosen up a little bit, but we are still very, very aware of occupancy within the confines of the buildings.
What's the toughest part of your job?
I think the toughest part of being in the funeral business industry, funeral service, is most definitely having to deal with individuals who have lost children. To be perfectly frank, I think that is one of the arrangement meetings that none of us are ever really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is very little that we can do to a grieving parent, anyone who is grieving. We are not, we deal with respect, we deal with compassion, we deal with the law, we deal with making arrangements and getting those right for the family. And that's what we do. And there are always those emotions that spill over into that within the arrangements, because emotions are very, very high on the part of the family. And we walk a fine line from making arrangements and making sure that everything legal is done correctly as per state law, and also consoling the family. And we are always kind of walking on eggshells, but
mm-hmm.
it's what we have been called to do. And I firmly believe that those of us who have made a commitment to this business are here for a reason. And I'm being in this position here in Sacramento and working for the diocese is just absolutely amazing. I've never ever thought that my life pursuit and my faith would ever combine. And I never occurred to me that the two could come to a confluence, if you will. And it's been absolutely amazing.
Well, the guy sitting in this chair right here has a similar story of not ever believing that his faith, when I was offered the job to host the Bishop's Hour, going, wow. Like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I think the most surprised person of all was God. Going,
yeah.
You're
going
to let him on the radio to talk about the faith? Really?
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, it was like, wow, what, as you say, a confluence. It's
mm-hmm.
like whoever dreamed it.
It really is, and I, you think back of your own thought process when you were a kid. If you attended parochial school, high school, like I did back in Santa Maria, and the church was a huge part of my life because my parents were so involved, and consequently, so was I. And you look at that early phase in life and think, well, okay, that was that, and here we go with the rest of life, getting married, having kids. And then all of a sudden it comes back full circle, that not only am I charged with the huge responsibility of assisting families at such a horrible time in their life, but also doing it under the guise of my faith and the Holy Catholic Church is just a blessing.
Indeed. So, Chris, you have some job openings.
We do, and there are some opportunities here within our company for within our diocese to do exactly what I've been describing here the past few minutes, and that is to embark on a ministry of compassion and love for those who have lost a loved one, and do it within the guise of the Holy Catholic Church. We're looking for funeral assistants, mm-hmm. which are the individuals who certainly help make sure that funeral services go smoothly and according to families' wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Such tasks as moving flowers, assisting with casket, greeting guests at the door, book and folders, handing out, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we also have funeral arrangers, funeral directors we are in need of, and those are the individuals that may or may not have a state license, but certainly if they are able to pass the state certification, you would have the opportunity to actually meet with and make arrangements for families who mm-hmm. are experiencing a loss. And a lot of that has to do with knowledge of the law and knowledge of what we do is the faith as well in organizing those services. So we've got those available both here in Sacramento and at our facility in Citrus Heights currently.
Very good. Very good. And how should people who might be interested get in contact with you?
The best way to look at those employment opportunities would be to go to the website, and that would be cfcssacramento.org. And Charlie Frank, Charlie Sam, if you want to hear it phonetically like that. And then just slide down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see the employment opportunities and everything you need to know. And if anybody wants to have conversation with me about those positions, I would be more than happy to have conversation about that.
Very good. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, even virtually. And I'm sorry that in some ways that you gave up radio, but I'm really thrilled that you're here in the Diocese of Sacramento and doing the Lord's work.
I am blessed. I am very, very blessed, and I thank you very much.
Well, Chris, we'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon in person.
Absolutely. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you, too. Thanks so much. That's Chris Porfiri, who is the new general manager, if you will, a senior manager of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. God Almighty, the earth is found.